whether you like amen, whether you like it or not, you are going to get married. So, praise the Lord. What have I established? That you're already on the journey. The time you were in where? What did I say? You were in primary school. Yes. Or should I start from your mother's womb? There was the time you were in your mother's womb. So let me start from primary school. You were okay, KG. From there to secondary school. From secondary school to high institution. In Nigeria, we call it higher institution. Institution. So what? Can you see that you're already moving? You're already on the journey. So from higher institution, you finish, you graduate, you. So we're talking about tangible things. You get a work. You get married. Someone say girl. From marriage, after marriage, what else? You raise up children. Tell me now, what did you say? After marriage, I said you are somewhere in the mid, in the process. Okay. Now, what is when you want to get married? What is your first? Just tell me, what is your first consideration? You want to get married? Okay, number one.
Now the character of
number one character.
Character. Okay. Then number two, the person must be able to work with me. Apart from her character, she must be ready to work with me. Like, come to my level, understanding the kind of person I am. Because I know the kind of person I am. So the person must actually
must be compatible.
Compatible. Okay, that's grammar. So must just understand me and we must move on. So then the last one is I don't really like Spirikoko sister, but I like somebody that listen. If you have the room to listen to people. I don't really like the issue of this spiritual thing, but I always look for one thing. If you are listening person, then I can equate it of being spiritual, because you have the ability to grow if you can listen. So I don't want the issue of spirit, but
And the person must be supportive. Be supportive.
The person should understand the kind of person I am. Work together.
The first thing that we consider first is purpose. That has a kingdom minded. A person that has a kingdom minded. Yes.
Mindset.
The person must have the measure of life in him. It must be teachable.
Okay, I think I'll just have to add, she must be beautiful. That's number one. And she should love God.
Okay, the first thing I would look at for is that the person must be God-fearing and he must be compatible. And another thing is that... Sorry. Another thing is that his purpose, as in his, what he's destined for, or what he desires to do on earth, should be in line with what I want or to. So that's it. With what I desire or to.
The person must love me more than I love her.
I'm only going to say what has not been said there that I look out for. When you talk of compatibility, I look out for vision. Vision.
Okay.
And then person must love God and be God fearing.
Vision and what they said.
Yes, what he sees, like what he intends to be in the future.
Okay. And vision, then what
then
there's a balance to what we have actually written and said. There's the spiritual aspect that I'm going to look out for. But I can't, because of the spiritual aspect, take my eyes off the physical aspect. Although there are some things that I think we should that I look out for, because I believe the spiritual controls the physical. And then beauty, they say, is in the eyes of the beholder. The Bible also says that beauty can be very deceiving. So of course, if you are looking out for the beauty, something else might be wrong. I think I look out for when a woman is virtuous. Yes, virtuous woman. And when the woman is, that purpose thing is very key to me too. But I can't have a woman that, she doesn't even know anything about her future. She just says, because everything is not, I'll be like, this man doesn't have a destination. So I think purpose too. Then after that comes the beautiful character-wise. And I must be able to take her to the public. She must be cultured. But she built lots of gurus so that people will see. Yes, presentability. Thank you. Yes. Exactly. Then she must be able to cook, please. She must be able to cook, sir. Yes, that's also the physical aspect. Oh God, I'll show you that. I think that.
Praise the Lord. These are a lot of these things you see are the foundation of why we have a lot of problems in marriage. Okay? So I'm showing you the very foundation. Some people did not even think about the next person. They only thought about themselves. They have the mindset to receive. Why are you throwing your... Somebody say you must understand me. You must understand me. You must be ready to work with me. Even the purpose is this. Everything is defined. Everything was coming down to... This is where the focus is. I'm trying to show us focus. Focus. Now, I'm not saying you guys are not right, so I said, but I want to show it's something you must, just like if you have a building. If you have a place is cracked, you have to mend it so that you can have a stronger building. It's not all these things are valid. All of these points, vision, spirituality, character, compatibility, acceptance, understanding, purpose, light, beauty, God-fearing, love, virtues, all of these are ingredients of marriage. But you can have the right something, but it must be put in a proper balance. That's what I want to highlight. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You must put it in a proper balance. Of course, somebody says we should help her to grow and all of those things. Is it help who to grow? Help who? Help her to grow. And all of those things. Then the person must not be pulling her down. You understand? The person must not be pulling her down. You enter marriage with the mindset to give. What you can control is what you can give. You cannot control what you receive. I want you to get that foundation. You enter marriage with a mindset to give. It's a privilege to serve. With a mindset to give. Then all these things are valid. Don't get me right. Don't get in a problem. I just want to add a dimension to. I don't want to start talking about all these things. Without me, these are the things you already know. But we go with the mind to give. You see, when God brings a woman to you, like even my brother Victor said, to be cultured, be presentable, be able to cook, that's already a finished product. Sometimes God will not give you that kind of finished product. God will give you somebody that you bring to this ship. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So a lot of criteria we consider the marriages before even that marriage, we don't even need it. A lot of it we consider we may not even in the that's why this word B. This word a B. Praise the Lord. So number one, you enter marriage with a mind to give, with a mind to serve. Now you can only say, and then all the things you meant. Like spiritual, all of this spirituality and everything. Because even when I wanted to marry, I didn't even, you know, I was not, don't be swayed by spirituality. All those things are very valid because you see, it's like that. They can end up to be the worst people in marriage. You get, so I want you to get me very well. So I want outward spirituality, because this one that is spiritual. Marriage is spiritual in itself, so we are all spiritual. But this outward show of people that you see, they can tongue, they pray, they are in the forefront and all of these things. So, but the marriage institution is very, very simple. What you are getting married to, you are going to get married to a woman. So there must be a woman inside of her. A woman. Then you are going to get married to a man. There must be the man inside of him. You see, a lot of so many things, you know, as young people, our mind can travel far. My own mind traveled far. You know. So our mind can navigate a lot of pathway. Sometimes God can put the package, what you want and what you need. God can put it in a package that you may not see it. If you are so clogged, are you hearing me? I'm giving us, trying to teach us and sign a little note of caution here. God can put everything you need. God can put in a package that if your eyes are not very open, God that has not helped, you may not see it. You may not see it. Because some other things might cloud your heart and your mind. So the first thing is to empty your heart. You cannot by your own session, you cannot by your own careful observation get a wife. Or you cannot by your careful observation, you study the person and all of them, get a husband. You cannot. You need to be helped. It's God that can help you. You may not even see a wife. There are places you have seen a wife inside. Some two people got married. Somebody say that this marriage is marriage in heaven. The lady was wonderful, was sweet. The guy too. Later, the marriage lasted for like 6 days. 6 days. I'm not saying these are people like me. The lady is wonderful. It's somebody I would have loved to marry if I was not married and I knew her too. But one night, the marriage lasted for 6 days. Certain things that came up, everything. 6 days. There was a reason. They broke up after 2 years. But I say 6 days. They were only together for 6 days. The man traveled. And maybe after they started having issues, talking on the phone like that. When he came, the day he came back was when they were preparing the divorce. But that is by and large. So, number one, you must, first of all, you see, a lot of all of those humans, first of all, empty your heart. You have a dream, a goal, a desire, the kind of person you want, but first and foremost, you can't give yourself a wife. And the kind of God you are following, the God you are serving. Okay, let me put it this way. How many of us can marry a lady on a wish year? As how many of us can marry a lady on a wish year? So when I'm saying that the first thing, when I say first, you need to empty. How many of that's for the guys? How many of the ladies can marry a guy on a wish? What is this? Where there's money? I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about people that we suppose all of us are, presume all of us are born again, and all of us are children of God. We want to follow God's will. That's why I'm in this vision in the first place. So these are places you start asking yourself whether those of us that say, God, I want to do your will. Wherever you go, oh Lord, send me, I go. I be there's one son. Wherever you go. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Step that I can. Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Can I sing
this? Oh, not so good. So we are here to bridge the gap between the song and the reality. We are people, we are real people living in the real world. And some all of these things you listed here, look at all these things. God can put in a package that you may not even see. I might put in a package that you may not want. But if you are bold enough to pick up that package, after you walk further, you'll be grateful to eternity that you take the step that you take. Praise the Lord. And that's a lot of people. See, a lot of people are suffering in marriage. A lot. A lot. Ladies, guys, a lot. That, in fact, marriage is a place of God designed it and ordained it, the ultimate place of fulfillment. But Satan also has wisdom. He has dark wisdom. And that is the ultimate killer ground. Ultimate. That's why I use the word ultimate. It's the ultimate place of fulfillment. Marriage is supposed to help you to rise higher. It's supposed to make you to soar. God brings a man into your life. And that man, you know what we call the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty. The man brings out the gift that is in you. You know, not a tyranny, not a control. The man, he leads you. Satan controls what God leads. You know, he leads me beside the sea water. Those that are led by the Spirit. Satan does not lead, he controls. So and one of the simple strategies in marriage is so he brings control, not leading. So to the woman, he brings a man that controls and shuts down everything that is there. But see, God can, he can even be a born-again man. He can even be a man or he can be anybody. You know? You understand? So he brings a man that can bring out the things that are inside of you. You see, people, I had a testimony of Adejumo. Mommy Adejumo, you know, one of her messages she was thanking her husband. Say she was so ugly. Right? You see, Adejumo, but this man made her beautiful, even in the natural. That's the agape. That the man made her so beautiful, brought her so many gifts inside of her. And even now, she's even more international than the husband. Mm-hmm. And you see, the man helped to bring her. And the man is not competing with the wife. Allow the gift to be expressed. So, can you see, there are so many things embedded in marriage. Embedded in marriage, so you say plainly you need to navigate with caution, with a lot of carefulness in the spirit, not with fear, with faith. I just told us about faith, right? Faith is a lot of carefulness and a lot of faith in it. And if you are not open, you become a prime candidate for deception in marriage. If you are not open before that marriage, before the choice, if you are not fully open, you become a prime target for deception. Prime target, but if you are not open, it comes openness. Open, praise the Lord. So these are one of the first. So that some of the things you need opening has to be open. You might be with somebody for a very long time. You may never. You say your eyes may be looking. Maybe one day God, out of mercy, God can just open your eyes. I saw this person that we've been together for so long. This is my wife. This is my husband. You know, sometimes even the tyranny of the family, we are so familiar with some people that even when God wants to tell this your person, this person, you have seen this person finish. Is it this sister? This person. You know. So all of those things, you know, God, you need to be delivered from them if you make the right choice in marriage. There are so many lady boys, not every lady. There are so many guys, but it will not be all the guys. Praise the Lord. So with and you enter marriage with you don't go with you with so much expectation. You go with zero expectation. You have to start from scratch. Zero expectation. So you start. Two of you now. Now, two people coming. Okay, I can use this board. Okay, let me. I can use this board. You just fix it right. Now, the two shall become one. This is the two. I use a black pen. Then let me use a blue pen now. A blue pen. Then use another color pen. Okay, I have a blue pen. Look at the mandate in marriage. The two shall become one. You have a black, you have a blue, and the two shall, they are not going to be blue, they are not going to be black. There's going to be a brand new identity. Now, these two, have you seen meshed potatoes? When you mesh, you just pick an orange and a mango, you mesh them together to become one. So these two can navigate to this place. So they journey to this place, to this new person. This one has to journey from everything you know, everything you are, your identity, your dream, your vision, you journey down here. This person too journey down here, but we don't want to take the journey. Journey to a new person. This is the way I do my thing. This is the way I understand and all of those things. A new understanding must come. You are stepping into a place you have not been before. You've not been married before. This is a brand new ground. So you must start learning from the scratch. But when you come with, I know how to treat ladies, I know how to treat. You already come with knowledge. That is where the conflict starts from. It's a new learning ground. A wife is different from a fiancé. And a fiancé is different from a friend. Maybe she's just my friend. When she moves from friend to becoming your fiancé or your fiancé, that's a new ground. Then when the person leaves from that place to become a husband and become a wife, that is a total new ground. And even it's so deep and so profound that Ephesians say it captures the relationship between the Christ, right, and his bride and his church. He now begins to talk about a new level of submission. And he now talks about a new level of love. God gives the man authority. The man is the head, this authority in marriage. But that authority is to serve the woman. That authority is to serve the woman. Because the authority that Jesus has used is to serve the church. He did not drink. God gave him a cup and he never drank it. He passed the cup on. It is the church that drank the cup. Praise the Lord. Jesus lived for us. He died. He suffered. Everything he went through was to make us. He went through humiliation. He went through pain. The power that Jesus had, he never tasted of that power. He was hungry one day and they asked him to command these stones to become bread. Did he do it? For him to eat. But when the people were hungry, did he do it? The power and the anointing he had, he stood, he was so hungry, he couldn't command the stone to become bread. But when he met the 5,000 and subsequently met the 4,000, he commanded the stones to become bread. Because that was the meaning of what happened. 5 loaves, he turned, he prayed, and he became bread. When he was hungry, he met the tree, and there was no fruit on that tree. But if the people were hungry and Jesus stood before the tree, he would speak to the tree and to bring out fruit. For the same voice that drive the tree to the root, that same voice can bring out fruit from the tree. Are you not aware? No man eats from you henceforth. You can ask him to bring fruit, he will take it. So that is authority. He had authority, but the authority was used to serve. And that is why it is because of that God required the highest level of submission from the woman. Because the man was going to serve the woman. He was going to serve in the context that he was going to use his authority for, not against the woman. He was going to use his authority as a protective shield, covering, you know, and to liberate the woman into her destiny and into her call and purpose in God. Then the woman, on the other hand, is that submission, you know, is the vision, you know, the weight of the vision, you know. The man is the pathway, you know, he heals the path, you know, and the woman is supposed to yield and submit to help the man to move, you know, because as the man is moving, he's clearly creating a path for the woman, you know, use your authority to liberate and to serve. You know, he's creating a pathway for the woman and her seed. Don't forget the woman and her seed, the seed of the woman. He's creating a path for the woman and her seed to follow. You know, so and the woman must give him all the necessary support, everything he needed to succeed. He gives it to the man. So can you see the one who come, the level of submission that God requires from women is deep. is so deep and is so profound. And the level of, he said, so shall a man love his, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the washing of water. Give me my Bible, Ephesians. So if you have, you understand this foundation to take it to the place of marriage. Deji, thank God you are not yet married. So if you hear this word and, if you hear this word and Ephesians 5, you need to understand, you know why? To know the beginning of marriage or the start, to start it, how, to know how to start it, you have to understand the purpose of marriage, the deep core in marriage, you know. When you understand it, then you now understand the beginning of, at all. Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we will not use it in a preaching submission so that I can score a point. You know, use a wife, women must submit. Is this not what I'm talking about? I'm trying to open up God's mind and purpose for us. He says, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. So, Bumi, as you are preparing to enter into marriage, this is what you feel in your mind. This comes first, before any of all of those criteria. Man must love me, he must, and all of those things. You know, you are going fully equipped and prepared into that home because you are the one entering. You have the mandate that is on your head. The man has the mandate that is on his own head. So you are ending in the full strength and in the full scale of your mandate. You are being prepared to submit to the man. You know, ask to the Lord. The Bible says in Peter how Sarah submitted to Abraham, calling him what? Lord. So don't be carried away by all this right, all this equality, right, all these things. These are things of the world. Say, equality, rights, all, feminism, all of these junks. You know, you need to be careful. You have to stay on the word. The woman should stay in her place and the man should stay in his place. And there will be absolute perfection. You know, there will be perfect compatibility and perfect harmony. Stay in the place that God has called us to stay. God called the woman and God called the man, but he called them differently and he called them into different places in marriage. And yet it is one marriage. Now he says, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. The same submission you give to the Lord, you give it to the man. For the husband is the head of the wife. As Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So the husband is not just the head. Can you see, when I say the authority is to serve and to liberate, he said Christ is the savior of the body. The head saves the body. So the man is the head, the woman is the body. So the head is the savior of the body. The man will protect and defend the woman with her life, with his life. So that is the core. We protect, we love and defend the woman with his life. This is practical. This is not theory. This is, you know, if you are married, these are the, they say, you know, they use that, how the day of judgment look like. It's not going to look anyhow. We already know how it's going to look like. Are you married? You just open Ephesians 2:22 for. It's there. It's this same word that God used to judge us. This same word. So I say, you know, God will open this same word that you are reading every day that we are not obeying. So it's better we sit and understand this word and follow it carefully. In this word, that's why when Paul see that, he has followed the details of this word. He said, I've finished. Now, what is the, what you are, some people are scared of the day of judgment. How will judgment? Paul said, on that day, I'm only going to receive a crown. A crown of righteousness. He's not expecting any, say, okay, judgment, white throne judgment. No, that white throne judgment, Paul knows that it's going to be a ceremony for him. He said, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. He said, I've obeyed on it. Jesus himself too, when he was on earth in John 17, he prayed the same prayer. He was going to receive a crown. He said, I've finished the race. The work that you give me, I finished it. So he gave his own account and had his own judgment on it. And God testified to it by giving the Holy Ghost and every other thing that followed after. So I'm announcing to you, this same word of God, let's sit down and follow it in detail and in depth. Now, he said, verse 23, Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband. Please read what followed. Please, I want you to echo your voice. Read what followed. I want to hear our voice. What did he say? I read it again. I'll stop. I'll ask you to continue the statement. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husband. In what? So, blessing. Are you preparing yourself for this assignment? This is it. In everything. I continue. Husbands. Now, come to the man. Say, love. Somebody, we should clean this one, Abi. We should clean this one. You know, it's our papa that wrote it. If we clean it, he will not sanction us. He said, love me more than I love her. You know, if we cancel it now, our papa will sanction us. So he can suspend all the fellowship people here. Papa can decide to. He can come to your fellowship and suspend you. You can come and suspend it. Because it's our papa, let's leave it on the board. Let's continue. He said, verse 25. He said, husband. He said, love your wives. How did he say you love her? How? And gave himself for it. The man should die for the wife. That is the call. Somebody that says she has nothing to say. See, she's not saying strong. She's not saying strong point now, Justina. She went quiet, sober. Now he says strong point, Abby. And that's it. That's all we use to attack ourselves. So the woman must submit. The man must love. You know. Let's just say our praise the Lord. The husband, read it again. Love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. My wife is not prayerful. My wife is not know how to cook. My wife doesn't really love God. But this word test is your responsibility. You sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. How? Okay. Now, to what extent that now you as the man, you have all those complaints, good and fine, we've taken all your complaints about your wife. Now, tell us what you have done in the spirit. The warfare you have engaged in the spirit for your wife. Jesus engaged in one warfare for us. That he said he got to a point that his sweat became like what? They were dropping down like blood. Well, he was engaging in warfare on our behalf. He was engaging the heavens and engaging the angels. Engaging the fathers. Alone, he said, the sweats. Jesus, at one point, he never ate for 40 days and 40 nights. This was spiritual warfare. He was not doing it for himself. These were things he did for us. And that is the role of the husband. You need to tell us how he went 7 days engaging the heavens. You know, how he went 7 days tussling because of the woman. You know, if you are give us all the account of what your wife is not doing right, we've had all those things, beautiful, these are truth, these are true, these are facts. Then we'll now move from the level of fact to truth. And that truth now, you now start telling us all your spiritual exercises. You know, because you engage the heavens. Abi? So, it's one encounter with God and, you know, that woman will be running like a white fire. Women have potentials inside of them that are locked up. It is the duty of man to unlock that potential. That's your call. That's your call. Even in the natural, okay, she doesn't mind. He says, my wife does not dress well. You know, all of this. It's also your duty, you know, to, this is the, okay, you love this. This that is something you love. You package her. You bought that. You let us know you bought that dress. Or you bought it once and she refused to wear it. It's not done anything. You need to tell us that you bought it for her 7 times and 7 times you refused to wear it. And you did it, I have done it for 7 years. Now I did it, you know, that's the testimony. I've done it for 7 years. Because time is also, when it comes to redemption, time is required. Time is required. Jesus, Peter, look at those men that Jesus had for 3 years. If you saw one of us, after 2 days, you throw them away. This Peter, can he amount to anything? He's not even stable. Yes? Say it's not stable, you throw him away. Jesus took those men, they were the people that were not learned, unlearned. If Jesus can transform them to be those apostles and became a foundation that God himself from heaven will lay the structure of the church upon, how can you tell me that I cannot transform people? Say, I pick these people, they are not, it's not working. No. Jesus, he picked the worst. What you can say, the word. People, nobody would like to take. Who were MTN? The man that found MTN. Will he carry people like Peter? They want to use them and form MTN. Nobody will carry them. Oh, nobody will carry them. Or maybe a minister now, President Buhari say you want minister now, okay, people that will run this government, you go and look for people like Peter, people like Thomas, you know, people, all those people, they will form a new government. They won't. They will ask you, what's your pedigree? You even have to go to a synod that will now look at your pedigree. Amen. Those, their own pedigree was their ability, just ability followership. Those men were ready to follow. So long as followership was established, then you now say, I will make you. That is the role of the husband, he makes the woman. And that's why God expects the woman to submit. You know, submission, the willingness to be ready to be made. You are willing for the man to make you. You know, you apply, you are like a clay where the man can turn you. He can turn you this way, turn you this way. Like Abraham. Abraham carried the boy. He wants to go and slaughter the boy on the mountain. You know, your ability to let go. Why? Because Abraham is your head. How many of you argue with Christ? You know, Christ give you. No, you won't argue with him. You obey. So, Abraham is your husband. You know this man is aligned with God and this is the word of God to him. You follow it. You follow him. Irrespective of where he's going. Praise the Lord. So, can you see? So, if we follow the Bible as it simply is, it's called that we arrive at where God wants us to arrive. It's a deep call. It's beyond the person's nose. Just not the pointed nose. The way you sing, the way you talk, I just love the voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you see depth? Can you see depth? You know. So first of all, God must help you to cleanse and purify your desire. He must purify your desire. Because the way Satan can help you to miss it in marriage, to just give you wrong desires. Because a man will be led by his desire. It's simple. It's spiritual. Your desire will lead you. That's what one of the things Jesus does is to work his desires inside of you. You know, the first thing the Holy Ghost came, the first day the Holy Ghost land, the first thing he did was what? The Bible says he shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. That's the first work of the Holy Ghost. When he came on the day of Pentecost, what we were not seeing, we were not told. Later, we read it, Paul told us. We even knew when Jesus was praying in John 17, how did he end that prayer? That the love that you have for me will be in them. That he said, John 17, that the love that you have for me will be in them and I will be in them. And that was the first thing that the Holy Ghost did when he came on earth. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So it's there. It's left for you now to begin to grow in it. It's now left for you to now start walking in that love. The Holy Ghost puts it there. He puts the love of that, the desire for God. The desire for God, the love for God and the love for your fellow man and the love for the creation. He puts it inside of you. That's why you for you to now to grow in that love. Look at John 17 before I come back here. John 17, look at how Jesus ended his last, that was his prayer. This was the last statement that Jesus made. That's in terms of when he was praying for the apostle. His last desire, let's put it that way. The last desire he made to the Father on earth. The last desire he made to the Father on earth. John 17 verse 26, that was Jesus prayed all throughout. He said, have you seen in verse 26? He said, I have declared to them your name, and we declare that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. The love, you see, the love that God has that loved him. See, the Father loved Jesus. See, the love that you love me, I want it to be inside of them. And the first day that the Holy Ghost came, he came to that faith as he came, he just answered that prayer. That was the last desire that Jesus made on earth. And that was the first thing that the Holy Ghost did. The first thing is not tongues. It's not tongues. The first thing, those tongues were signs. The first tangible thing that the Holy Ghost did to man on earth was to put this love inside of our hearts. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Is it tribulation? Is it pestilence? Is it all those things Paul keeps saying? He said the love of God constrained us. That was the first thing he did. That's why the Bible says in Romans 5, that Romans 5, look at it. Romans 5. Are we there? Yes. Therefore, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. He said the love of God has been poured out in our heart. It's there. Once you are born again, it's there. The Holy Ghost will pour it there. So it's left with just like faith. Faith is there. All this joy for you to start growing, start nurturing, start growing, start walking in love and everything. Praise the Lord. So I come back to our Ephesians before I digress. So I told her Jesus took those men, and look at what he built those men into. So that's your calling as a husband, as a man. A man. So verse 26. Verse 25, husband, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husband ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes. You see, he will nourish the woman and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father. Many will not even leave their father. A man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. One flesh. He said, leave his father and his mother. The role of your parent ended the day you got married. As emotional attachment, oh, this is my father, my mother. Your father and your parents, you have to understand this is God's commandment. The day they marry, leave them alone. Let them be fighting every day. If they don't call you, you are not needed in that home. If you break into that home, you are violating God. You can't, but you are violating God. He says, shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife? And the two becomes one flesh. One flesh. You know, I told you the two shall become one. And the question is, which one? Which one? If David and Grace should marry, and the two of them should be there, they are never Grace and they are never David. They are going to be a brand new one. So which one? Okay, if I still remember, I will explain the one. Okay. So he said, for this reason, 31, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He said, this is a great mystery. Can you see marriage? Can you see? Did he say it's a mystery? Did he just say it's a mystery? He said, this is a great, profound and deep mystery. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, I go back a little bit backward, and I'll come back to our board. He said, husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The church is full of wrinkles and is full of spots. So this wrinkles and the spots is not a ticket for you to walk away. When is Jesus going to divorce his church? Tolu, give me the date. When is Jesus going to divorce his church? He said the more wrinkle and the more spot, then the more you're calling. He said the wrinkle, look at it now. Not wrinkle, not spot. In fact, he's calling us, we are going the other way. You remember the story of Jonah? As he's calling us from the west, that's when we are facing the east. And that's what we do. And yet, you know, he kept on. This is the assignment. The assignment that Jesus had is that at the end of the age, I don't know the time that the Father gave him, but at the end of the time, when Jesus stands, what the Father expects to see is a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. So you, how you arrive at that place is your business. Praise the Lord. So you must go be from, you must go from the level of seeing the man to start seeing your God in marriage. You must go from the level of just seeing the woman to start seeing your God, even in the marriage. It's God that has called you. And when he was saying, a lot of you say, when they marry, they discover this and that. No. Except for, okay, some of you that were not born again, they did not know God before they married. Now that all of you that you know God, even if you marry, if you go and marry and discover anything, you see, there's something about when God created man, there's what they call accountability. You must be responsible for your action. You cannot walk away. With koro eyes like this, with all this spirituality and all the eternal life you have eaten, and you still went ahead, contrary to the Holy Ghost and to my, then God expects you to take responsibility. That is what we call a man. He told Job, rise up like a man. God created man fell. Why didn't he create? He could have created another man. But God took responsibility and followed man into the fall. He followed him into the fall. And then came out of the fall with the man. And which the eternal glory we are going to. So you must, who are created in his image. So if you know, I didn't know those stories of someone that God did with us, never, but someone that did not know God, was an unbeliever, he got married, and all, but not you now, koro now. You come and, maybe tell you, come and tell me tomorrow that this lady that he married, that you have told us that this, God led you here. God led you here. And this is what God is saying. You told all the things that God has told you and everything, then tomorrow now you are coming with another language that this, no, is not acceptable. He said, he that swears to his own heart, and it changes not. It will hurt you. Life on earth is so brief. Maybe even the next 30 years, just enjoy it. I told you, say, okay, you marry the man. You didn't know the man could be violent. You didn't know he could slap. God can give you the grace to bear. You can slap you every day for 30 years. As he's slapping you, the Holy Ghost is increasing inside of you. With every slap that comes, that's how the Holy Ghost increases inside of you. Yes, now they were flogging them, and as they came, each stripe was hitting them. They were rejoicing and counting him worthy to suffer shame for his name. It's a great mystery. Marriage is one of the things we brought from the creation. Before it was even before that institution that God ordained before the fall, because it's central to God. It's central to God's purpose and what God wants to do with man on earth. That's why I say it reflects the relationship between Christ and the church, and it also reflects the relationship between Christ and his son, between the father and his son. Before I talk about the marriage, reflects the relationship between Christ, the father and his son, Christ, when he was on earth, then the relationship between Christ and his church. So it's so profound and it's so deep. See, the father was in heaven, Christ was the one on earth obeying the father. Christ is in heaven, the church is the one, the boy church is now the one on earth obeying Christ. And they say, so can you see how profound it is? He's supposed to bring out something that is godly and something that is divine. It's much more than you, two of us, me and Grace. She loved me, I love me, this issue, she's cool. It's beyond, it's not about us. You are displaying something that is heavenly, something that is godly, something that is of the triune God, who has also displayed to the earth. You know? So if one party is not going, your hold on, your obedience, how will you feel? Okay, people like... How will you feel? How would the testimony be? A man that the wife was misbehaving is a man of God. God used him mightily. He held on to that marriage. And all of this, and God used him mightily and he held on. It becomes an everlasting testimony on the true of us. That it becomes a fountain of life that will encourage so many people that be going to one or two small things. But small thing, because this man divorced, you too. Even the, you've not gone through enough thing. You too, it's a door. That door you should know in your heart that door is not a door that can be opened. It's not as if God will not still work with you. If you have listened to I preached a message at home. If you've listened to that message, it's not as if God will not still work with you. It's not as if God will not still bless you. Abby? You know? But a chunk of your eternal destiny, something will be missing from it. All of us go to heaven now. Abby? Even those that obey God on earth, that the partial obedience, all kinds of mixed multitude in heaven. That's the same way our glory and our honor is going to be. What are you complaining about? After all, some people did not even marry. How about Paul that did not marry? Should he go and hang himself? Should he go and hang himself? The one that did not even marry. How about the multi that never even married? In following God's call. Should they go and kill themselves? So please, let's get it. Let's get it right. Let's understand. So as you are going into that marriage, you are going equipped. Praise the Lord. Equipped, so not going beyond this, are peripheral. When you go beyond this peripheral, you go equipped. As it's not like as the water level rises, you rise. As they challenge some of those things, because you rise. That's what God has said. That is how God. Look at you and Christ now. Look at your life. You know, look at how disobedient, how rebellious you are. How disobedient, how rebellious I am. And yet He has not left us. He said, till He is sanctified by the washing of water by the word, He will sanctify. Then He now said He will present it to Himself. Can you see? He's going to present that. You see, even so, the man, that's the role the man has in marriage. You have a role to work on you. And that's why it is the scripture employ women that is follow the man, because the man has a very big responsibility. He has a big role. You know? Follow the woman, be yielding, you know? Because it's something like a clay. You want to mold the clay into a shape. If the clay, you want to draw eye. As you draw eye, the clay turn it to tail. You know? You know, it makes the job difficult, you know? So, this is the role of the man. This is the role of the woman. If we just follow this biblical rule, would there be divorce on it? If two people yield to God, yield to the Holy Ghost, so you can now see two people that are born again. They say they are spirit-filled. They are spiritual and everything. And yet, they cannot maintain it. They cannot maintain a marriage. Then there should be a big question mark on that spirituality. Cannot maintain a home. Because that is the first calling of your spirituality. That is the first fruit. That the first fruit of your spirituality that you know God is in your house, is your home. It's not the ministry. It's not building mighty empire and organization. The first fruit of your knowing God, the first fruit, the first display is your home. There is this popular saying that charity begins where? Charity is love. Love begins from the home. So if you want to assess any man of God, so this is your criteria you used to use, drop it. Go and assess the man in his home. Go to his home and assess him in his home. I take a 3 years an assessment of him in the home. Not you visit one day and go. A 3 year assessment of how he lives at home. That is where you know spirituality. If you are spiritual, praise the Lord. Home. You now need to itemize relationship with his wife and his children and all of those things. Some people are angels outside, but at home they are domestic Hitlers. Yes. They are domestic Hitlers at home. But outside there's no angels like them. There are no angels like them. So Emmanuel, so marriage and all I do, the white garment, the suit, the tie, everybody celebrates. Then you now stand and tell them that I will follow this woman to the ends of the earth, in rain, in sun, in sickness, in poverty. After I made all those declarations, then you now go and turn back from that word. You gather a whole multitude. The Bible says was surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, the ones in heaven, and now gather the witnesses on earth to complete the witness. The heavenly witnesses and the earthly witnesses, you gather everybody, parents, this, everybody, and you stood that I will follow this man to the ends of the earth. In sickness, so we even went as far as say for better. Even if it gets worse, I will still be standing here. Then at the little shaking of the boats. How? So that means, you know, so when you make, it's an eternal covenant. When you make that covenant, he that swears to his own heart and it changes not. So are we getting what I'm saying? Are we getting what I'm saying? So you need to prepare then. All these things you listed here, these are the things you need to start working on your character. You need to start working on your character. The most important character in a marriage is your own. It's your own. It's your own. And that if you are a lady now, not his own. If you are a guy now, not her own. It's your own. Why did I say this? Because that is what you have control over. That's what you have control over. If you have learned to be much more patient and tolerant, it will save a lot of things in the marriage. You are going to, maybe now she has fault, you have met fault. But to what depth is your patience? To what depth is your tolerance? In Africa, there's another, they say that it's not what you are called, but what you respond to. It's not what they say to you, but what you answer to. It's your response that matters. And God will not judge you based on, you know, if God is going to judge you tomorrow, Victor, God is not going to judge you based on what came to you. He's going to judge you based on your response. You now say, okay, that brother slapped me, that's why I slapped him. You know, he say, you shall not call a man fool. You know, somebody that call you, he say, he called me fool 5 times. Because he called me fool 5 times, that's why I called, but you called him once. So God will be judge you based on what he say, every word that comes out of your own mouth, out of Victor's mouth. Did he say, every word, God is going to judge Victor based on every word that will be spoken to Victor. It's based on every word that, that Victor has spoken. So the multitude of words that Satan arranged, arranged through men or through whatever in his program, arranged around you to bring down to some certain kind of words from you. It's a wisdom for you to resist saying all those words. He arranged all those things that he did it to Moses. The Bible said they made him to speak in unadvisedly with his lips. They provoked him to anger. Israel provoked him to anger, and he made him to speak unadvisedly with his lips. And when he uttered those words, did God judge him based on what Israel said? Did God not judge Moses based on the misbehavior of Israel? God held Moses based on the words that came out of his mouth. That's Psalm 78 or so. He spoke on advising with his own mouth. So it's not about the other person. It begins with you. So why am I saying this? Look at it this way. This is the balance. If I now say, if like now, we have men and women here, ladies and young men and guys here. If I know it's about I'm working on my character, and the woman on her own part understands that she's working on her character, when we come together, how will it look like? Eh? No, let's talk now. How will it look like? Yeah, you said there will be a balance. If I have this understanding, I'm working. And the woman to have this, and she's now working. So both of us were working. And by the time I do something wrong, it will be easier for him to say, sorry. By the time something is pointed to me, say, and I'll make effort not to do it again, not to hurt the other person. Like, this is how men should be. But when you go, this person, like that, a lot of times you go with a mind of so many expectations. That's why I say you go with zero and then start allowing God to build things. So you go so many like that. After some time, you are intolerant. God does not live in time. God lives in eternity. So you are counting time, be patient for for 6 months, for 2 years, for 7 years. You are that 7 years you are talking, maybe to God is like a second. He like telling you, like coming to meet me now that Tolu, I say, how long? He say, I couldn't bear it after 1 minute. No, you want to look at it as it's strange. That Tolu, he used to do something like this. I said, okay, how long did he do it? He did it for like 1 minute. How will you feel that person, someone that is bringing a report to you? So your 7 years will be like a second to God. Because God gave us an eternal call. The path of life, the journey, the path you are on is an eternal highway. It's an eternal highway. Praise the Lord. The path you are on. It's an eternal, after time it continues. It's an eternal journey. Even right now that you are even living in time, you are even on an eternal path. So you must have that understanding so that you not be weary. Any small thing will start shaking. It's not just about marriage alone. Any small challenges here, you're on an eternal path, on an everlasting path. The day you met Christ and you got born again, your journey, you hit the eternal tarmac. So you are on an everlasting path. I know I'm on a journey that transcends this life. Though even I'm in this world, he says, though we're in the world, we're not of the world. Even though we're journeying, this is the aspect of our journey that's in time. A time will come when time will be taken away and eternity will abide and we'll still be on the path. So I'm already on an eternal path. So the elements of time will not be able to shake you. Will not be able to shake you and knock you off the path of life. Praise the Lord. So these are the things. What did I say? You have to be open. Very, very open. And you must go with the mind and the understanding and the revelation. Thank God you wrote light. This is the authentic light. This is the authentic light. So the spirituality, this is the authentic spirituality. All of those things, compatibility and understanding purpose, the beauty, the ornament, the beauty. The Bible talks about the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great gain. Praise the Lord. Of great gain. So, people after 5, 6, 7 years in marriage, the people I know, I don't see them excited about all of these physical attributes that stimulated before enter marriage. If they talk on a different level. How many of us have lived with married couple or stay around married couple? How many of them after 6, 7 years of marriage, is it telling how handsome the husband is? Or how beautiful the wife is. You can make reference to it and my beautiful wife and everything. But the body and the details, those things have ebbed away. Yes, the character will come out. Even if you marry the person as Miss World, if the character is so bad, after maybe some years, you look at her, she's the most ugly person in the on earth. I'm telling you. Anytime you looked at her, anytime you just looked at her, all those values just goes. But you marry a person that maybe he says is not beautiful and all of you look at 7 years into marriage, you know. Is it not fine? Is it not God changing? God will change your conscience and your makeup. I'm telling you. Character can remold your makeup and your thinking. And that is the truth. So I've said one or two things that I know bless us. The two shall become one flesh. Which one? I say, look at this one. It's a journey to this one. The man can take this journey and the woman might not move. Abi? Uh-huh. So they are like that. But when two of you take this journey from this one, and journey to the new one, that means everything you know, everything you represent, and you must let it for God to start teaching. You know, you say to be teachable. Part of the things you mentioned, you must have to be teachable. To teach you this new ground, to teach you, it's a new life, to teach you this new life, teach you this new environment. You must be ready to learn. Some of us already know, you are already spiritual, you already know God, you already know a lot of things. Once you come here, you start stumbling. You can be a man of God, or a woman of God, or a strong believer. You start faltering. Because you already know, those that know will not be taught new things. But those that does not know, they will be taught new things. You need to learn. You know? You need to learn. So all these things are true. So basic. Now, it may come in packages that you may not expect. If your heart is not open, totally, completely open, and allow God to lead and to God to direct you. Every other thing, then I say that you become a prime. Why did I say that you become a prime candidate for deception? Through your desire, if you allow Satan to put the wrong desires about my day or the wrong understanding. From the start about marriage. I was in a training in Lagos. A lot of ladies were there. And these are ladies that they are well-to-do. On their own, they are well-to-do. You know, they are well-to-do. Very, very well-to-do. Ladies, they were there. I was there. The ladies were there. So they were not asking them about marriage. What will you pray? The ladies, they are well-to-do. They can buy cars at will. They can have money to have structure, own a house themselves. These are ladies that can own a house on their own. They can buy cars for themselves. But listen, they ask them that when you want to marry, that they ask them, will you prefer the man? A man, and I've told you here before, if you remember, that the man should be unfaithful, but he should be rich. Or you prefer a guy that is faithful, but he doesn't have money. Mm-hmm. Or he's faithful. He's very faithful, he's loving, caring, like that, husband. He doesn't have money. But this one is not faithful. He goes out, but he has money. They say, unanimously, I speak the truth. Unanimously, they say they want the one that has money. If you like, let him be doing whatever. I want the ones that have money. Those ladies. I'm not talking about ladies that are struggling. These are ladies that can run successfully, run a home, grow up children. They say they want somebody that is rich. So that's why I say the mindset in which you enter, you forgetting that in marriage you are not marrying the money, you are marrying the man. You are not marrying you are not even marrying the she has this natural hair that looks Japan or American Indian hair. You are not marrying that hair, you are marrying the woman. And the woman is the person inside this body. The man is the person inside his body. You are marrying the man. Praise the Lord. You are marrying the man. So, for anyway, up to tomorrow, some people will tell you this is what they want. So you cannot stop. But we are talking about people of the kingdom. They will tell you if they should die and come back again. Some people tell you they want to serve Satan. Even let them go die and come. So it's a choice. So you have to make your choices, and I implore you to make the right choices. Do you have any question? You have a question, okay.
Praise God. Talking of oneness, should a man or a woman journey into that oneness without the other partner?
Okay.
I'm looking at the possibility, and if it's possible, should it be so?
Okay, she's saying the two shall become one, that I say two of journey to oneness. That this one is blue, this one is black. And they become one, they journey to become red. The new identity in marriage and everything. So you say, what if the woman is taking the journey and the man is not taking the journey? I say, we are real people that live in real world. And that's what is happening in so many places. can see a partner that is willing to, ready to sacrifice to make the marriage work. The second person does not even care. Another one, maybe two of them, sometimes two of them don't even care. There are some people who even say you can cheat. Just make sure that I don't see you, I don't catch you. There are marriages like that. You can do it, but just make sure that I don't see you. And you too, you can do it. Just make sure. I've heard of marriages like that. So some people don't care, but we are talking about God's people. And we're also not talking, there's a balance here. They're talking about people that sometimes you can make a mistake, marry the wrong person. So what do we do from there? That one I can't combine it with this teaching. Praise the Lord. Can't combine it with this teaching. Okay, I married the wrong person. I discovered I'm in the wrong relationship, in the wrong marriage, and everything. So those things are the real situation we can meet. When one person says he's not interested and he says he doesn't want the marriage, you cannot force somebody to marry and decide to walk out of the marriage. You know, those are, you know, Paul says something. If they believe in why you stay, if they want to depart. So there are balances to some of this, but what I wanted to establish, a foundation, a rock solid foundation in our heart. Once that foundation is established, then other things can come upon. So we can take, I'll just talk briefly, then I want to go into the details so that we can bring this session, we can now pray about it. Once one person is not really responding, now forget your don't forget that your first point of call is the Holy Spirit. The first thing you do is to pray. First thing you do is to talk to the Lord. That's the first person. People can give you all manner of advice, but what matters is what the Holy Ghost tells you and the way He leads you. The Bible says He leads me. Those that are led by the Holy Ghost are the sons of God. The Holy Ghost, as you begin to pray, as you begin to seek in the face of God concerning it, you must have a tangible word. You must have a tangible, okay, this is what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. And you know, there is a way. You know, He handles it in different way. This same thing can happen to 10 different people. And it will be handled in 10 different ways. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, it's just that the spirit with which you handle is going to be the same thing. But the physical way to be done might differ. But with the same spirit, which is with the right spirit, with the spirit of meekness, with the spirit of love, with the spirit of submission, with the spirit of obedience to the Holy Ghost. So it will be the same spirit. But it will be manifested in different way. Like the prophet, it's not the same spirit that Elijah had. It's the same spirit that Elisha had. But two of them were two different things. Elisha befriend kings. Even a king that was a murderer. That man that said they should go and cut off the head of Elisha. When they say a wheat will be sold for a penny. There was famine in Samaria. When the four leper went outside of the city. You remember that story? You know, the king said it was not Elijah that caused it. The army came and besieged Samaria. They besieged Samaria and they wanted to attack Samaria. And there was no food in the city. The king woke up that day that God do so to me if the head of Elisha remain on his head. And he was going to cut off the head of Elisha. And Elisha said, God, he said, when Elisha already knew that he told some people, the elder, that is this son of a murderer, I sent you to come and cut off my head. Elisha said, I can't wait for God anymore. And he now began to prophesy that the famine will end. If it were the days of Elijah, he sent to go and cut off his head. That famine will not end. You know? Is that same king or is that same king or another king that the king of Samaria want to attack that king? Elisha was sent to go and tell him. You know, Elisha does not have the such kind of relationship with kings. But that was his own calling. But it was the same spirit. That spirit that Elisha even had said, it was even a double portion of Elijah's spirit. You understand? But he was not fighting the kings. You know? So in the same spirit, but can you see the manifestation and the operations are different? Operations are different. So the operation will be different, but the same spirit. That's why we must build a relationship with the Holy Ghost. And that's why we're here, to hear this word, to hear things like this, to have a different atmosphere in marriage. Don't be afraid. I've addressed fear. It's not part of this recording. What I told us in Emeka's house, I've addressed the issue of fear. We must go with faith. But it must be open and be submitted to the Holy Spirit so that I can get it right from the first start. And even if you get it wrong, the Holy Ghost will still be there for you. Seriously. And can even go back and turn into a very wonderful relationship. All right, Lola.
There's one word I spoke that I actually picked. You said that that he or she, that the husband and the wife can come in a package that we're not planning for, or that we don't expect. So, and I want to ask, is it possible for God to bring that your wife or the husband in a package as an unbeliever, in quotes, because they are my pastor, my era pastor wife, when he was giving seminar.
The answer to that one is capital no.
Because sir, I was a little bit confused.
As a believer, that you are saved, that you know God.
Because sir, let me say this. The reason why I was confused, because me before
you have to
see,
follow the Bible. They say that light and darkness, no Belial, and all of those things.
My pastor wife said when he wanted to marry his that Waira pastor now, that he doesn't even go to church that time. That even when that they have given birth to, that if she's going to, if she wanted to marry him, that he doesn't go to church. That he will even be telling you that what's your problem. But that the sister now said that he's your husband. So and now today is an area pastor. That if I'm waiting for when God will bring somebody that is special, that I might stay without getting married.
That's the error we make. We use our personal experience to establish doctrine. You get it? The Bible has a pattern. So if there is maybe God in his own sovereignty, David did something in your life. You're like Abraham now, that God told him to go and sacrifice his son. You know, that's not a pattern. So you can't establish doctrine from experience. So what we teach is biblical doctrine, standard biblical doctrine. So once you teach that, if you have a deviation, maybe a variation and like that, maybe a product of mercy, God's mercy. So you now say somebody can stand up tomorrow and go and marry a Muslim. Yeah, go and marry a Muslim. That he felt led like that. Go on, he said, what agreement has light to do with darkness? A child of God. And someone that is not saved. The God that is telling you to go and marry someone that is not saved. Can't he get the person born again and bring the person and if you get married? So you are not saying because you marry the person as an unbeliever, now he's a believer. What if I had waited? Who told you that the best that God can give you? The fact the best is even spiritual, not even an area pastor per se. Who told you that the best that God had? Maybe you are now already evaluating yourself. Have you looked at God's marking scheme for your life? You understand? You know, I told that God will still help you as much. Even if you make mistake, God will still help you as much as he can. Even if you make it. So now, but because people have even obtained testimony in God trying to now help them, they now take that as even the original purpose of God. I don't know if you get what I'm saying, Victor. I missed it out. And I cried to God. God now helping me. Like just David now. David was not supposed to go into Bathsheba at all. He went into Bathsheba. And I came up with the first baby died, and now Solomon. And then David will now stand up that if I had not gone into Bathsheba, how would I have had a person like Solomon? But look at the end product of the Solomon that he had. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If I had not gone into Bathsheba, I would not have had a Solomon. Is that all that God can do? So if you have not gone into a Bathsheba, God will not have raised one of his sons when God has given an eternal covenant. So the Solomon, was he the best that David could have had? Was he the best? You know, God is the redeemer. That's why I say they were like clay. He's the potter. He can reshape the fact that he has taken a broken clay and reshape into another image. That does not mean to say that that is the best. If that has not happened, I could not have been where I am. So that kind of testimony is wrong. That if I not the world will happen and like that. It's just like Adam saying that if I had not fallen, would Christ have come? Well, that's God never intended it. If I'm not falling to sin, this will not come. I have not even recovered. Praise the Lord. Any other something? Okay, but talk.
Praise God. And then another thing that I've discovered, about this thing is because of this, of different kind of marriage seminars. And then we come back from all different kind of marriage seminars, and then we enter into a realm of experience that we generalize experience and make more problems for ourselves. Like when you go to different kind of marriage seminars, people will come and share their experience, their journey so far in their marriage. As I've said, even it might not be the best, but I also share their journey so far in their experience and their everything. And like the one she has just said, we've had different kind of story like that, and the people has made the same mistake in generalizing this experience, and this thing has really affected our relationship, lives, and some other thing. that you have to bring their experience to your own life, and then you leave your original subject, that is chasing another thing. So it affects our... Another thing about the issue of package, I think what Pastor is saying, I think I actually get it sometimes, because sometimes you might... Brethren, sisters, and everybody, we are sisters, we are... But if you are to enlist those sisters to your payroll or to your choice, you will look at number 1 to number 10. You say, no, this one can be. But there is number 11 somewhere that you are actually targeting. So, but, you know, as you pray, the truth is, you pray. One thing I have understand about beauty, I believe that something attracts a man first. The moment you see the lady, something just attracts, okay, there's something this, except we don't want to say the truth. I like this girl. So I just gather that. So sometimes we just look at our desire, and this is leading us to something. But when we now, God help us, we're able to pray, the compass now change to another person, sister, and then you are like, no, I don't think this is possible. It can't be Justina. Like no, it can't be Justina. It can't be Bumi or any other. So you know, when you just look at that, and then as you continue, this thing keep coming, and then until you begin to, you are ready to obey, then you begin to see that, okay, because sometimes properly, because before you are seeing number 11, now there is number 12.
Very, very true what Brother Tope has said. Very, very true, because most of the people around you've seen them finish. And these are the same brothers around you that are going to get married, and it's going to have a very wonderful marriages, and the woman will be testifying. There's all the sisters around you that you see finish. These are the same sisters that people marry them, and they are going to say, wow, you know, thank God that I married so kind of person. But most time, this law of the familiar, you know, the familiar, okay, this person, I just, you know, you want to say, you know, when I went to so place, I just met this person. You know, a person you don't know, and you know, you don't like to say that I just, you know, met this person, but person maybe from all the way from under level and the same fellowship, you know the person's character, she used to get angry on time, or you know. So those are some of the things we need to, God needs to help us to open our eyes. Hagar was running away from Sarah, she was crying for water, there was water beside her. The Bible said the angel of the Lord opened her eyes and she saw the fountain of water. Praise the Lord. Then I before I give take what Victor wanted to say. When I wanted to get married, my wife, we were still together, Sister Grace. Sister Grace was there, was in a fellowship. We were in fellowship like this. So there's Sister Grace, there are other, everybody was there. Yes, sister, you know. Praise. So everybody was there. So they, you know, and where she was, where I know her, just like all of you know, we're close, you know. So like that, I met her in ICANN class. I was working, she was working, so we come fellowship, come to the same fellowship. But, you know, I never one day, you know, crossed my mind that, okay, this lady will be your wife or something. It's just like, never one day. I'm saying it before God, is my witness. The first time, you know, was when I had a dream. It was a dream I first had. You know? It was a dream my first eye that opened my eyes, you know, that I saw her. It was a dream. I had a dream. In that dream, no, listen, though our experiences may differ, I had never occurred to me, okay, married, no, you know, we're there like that. So, and that particular period, my mind was off a relationship. My mind was off relationship for some time. So I had a dream. In that dream, I saw some of her siblings. I've not met them before. That the first dream I had, I saw her sibling. I was in their house, and I saw their. You know, as you do this marriage, something. I'm telling you, that was the first thing I saw. So that just told me. I said, you know, and you know this mind of you walking with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to make error. You know, more of fear than even faith. I don't want to make error when it comes to marriage. So when I first of all saw it, I started to push it aside. I push it aside, so this and that, I'm going to pray about it. Then I had a second one. So I had a second one. So then another one that was so funny. One day I was in the office. When I was dally, these things were they just in my heart. Nobody I not discuss. So dally, these things were like that. I say, God, I'm ready to do your will. It's not as if I don't like her or like anybody, but so you know, when I ask you a question, like, can you marry somebody on a wish here? God is my witness. I had prepared my mind when I wanted to get married, that even if the lady is on a wish, I will marry her. I'm not saying this thing, no. God, I say whatever I say will stay, we say before God. I say it's not going to. I say God, prepare my heart. Then I think I was watching TV one day and I saw a guy got married. Very guy, you know, strong, fine guy. He got married to one lady and the lady was on the wheelchair. I saw the marriage on TV. You know, this is a witness. Oh, this is not a witness. This is not a witness. I showed it on TV. I watched it. I say, you know, but you know, this, when I'm talking about openness, you need to, you know, so. Because if God comes from that way, you totally miss him. And I didn't want to miss God in life because the place of destiny and the journey in life is greater than your own lust. Some of these things is just lust. You know, your own lust. What is lust? Lust is desires that you are not supposed to have. Desires that is not appropriate. That's the meaning of lust. Lust is desire. Desires that are not appropriate. You know, so somebody now walked to my office, a customer. He said, Abuba, he stood there, he stood in our office and he started laughing. He said, Abubakar, I saw you were getting married though, with one lady, that the lady is taller than you. He started making mockery of me, laughing. So, he just described it. I didn't ask him any questions. I just stood there, I was listening, you know. So, you know, repeated witnesses, then I now went to God and prayed, and then God now, I now settled it, was established and settled in my heart and everything. So that was how my story started. And the rest is history. The rest are the three children you are seeing. And somebody saying that she belonged, last time someone said she belonged to this house, and I say which of the room? Is it the city room or the other room? That's what is okay, Victor. I ask your question. You want to ask what was her reaction? The person is here, go and ask her.
Praise the Lord. Although I think I would still like to know her reaction too. It's very important so that the story will be complete. Praise the Lord. I think Pastor said something the other time, and he mentioned. Okay, I would like to start from the issue of finding out who the right person is. Human beings, our mind, or let me say our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As a man is thinking in his heart about his wife, that's what he will be seeing. Okay, let me put it this way. You want to ask God, God, I'm of marriageable age and I want to get married. Who is the person? Or you were coming to God and then you already had image, any list is even better. But image, do you understand? Even if you write the list, I'm going to meet a pastor. You see, there are some people that does that. There's a pastor that doesn't even see any vision. They know that it's the first person that you write. This is why I'm talking experiential. A pastor will tell you, the first person that you write, they know it's the person you like. Yeah. Or you take it to the pastor, you say, Pastor, let me pray for this name, Jeanette. But you see this Janet, God is, but I'll just leave you, let God lead you. But you see this Janet, sir, God, in fact, but let me leave you. The pastor knows that the one that will bring money to his hand is Janet. You're just going to marry Janet. So I think in the case of Isaiah or Jeremiah now, that the Israelites wanted to come and find out something from him. They already had an idol in their hearts. They wanted to know from Isaiah, just to make gist of what he would say. Jeremiah. So when he got there, God was telling Jeremiah that these people, they already had their mind made up. It's not that they want to hear from me. So there are sometimes that when you want to ask from God, I want to see something. I want to see the lady. I want to see the guy. God, and you already had someone in your mind when you are coming to God. God will just say, you know, God will now furnish that dream for you. Or the devil, we just call the people in the department of deception. We call the devil. He will give you dreams. You know all those fine, fine dreams. You see fine marriage. And then when you see it, you say, ah, God, I thank you. This is what God wants. And you say it's God that showed you. Because these are things that happen to people that are here on a daily basis. And you think that it's God that showed you that dream. And you know in everyone, I think in the case of Ahab, that they said, how will you deceive Ahab to go and fight as Ramoth Gilead? He said, a lying spirit came. That lying spirit was in the presence of God. You can even imagine, that spirit might not even be a demon. It might be a spirit in the presence of God. But that spirit became a lying spirit. Just to make sure, in the school of deception, there's a lot of things going on there that are beyond human reasoning. A lot of personalities there. Now, if you are not careful, you will make mistake, and God will say, I'm standing. In the book of Psalm 22, he said to the froward, I will show myself froward. Oropo mwesheshe gbadwe. Oropo smart. Ole wazi waji mwode tini mind jibbe nisi wafe ni wawasi kwa ilo no show me. Ola nebu, mwesheshe play abi. Mwesheshe play a game here. He said to the holy, I will show myself holy. So God is like he is pure. He's like a mirror. His spirit is like that. It's what you show to him that he shows to you. If you want to show that you know how to play smart, you say, no problem. Let's play smart together. Then you know who is boss. So I also think that love grows. That's what Pastor was talking about. That when you see a lady and you just love the lady, bam, ah, God, thank you. This is the perfect lady. Then you should think twice. When God shows you a lady and then you'll say, ah, God, this is just the perfect person for you. And you just love the person at first sight. Then you should check the authenticity of the revelation you are having. Because sometimes love usually grows. It's only when you marry the person, I think those that are married will be able to know. As when you marry the person, you now start seeing a lot of good things about the person. Ah, holy shebai. Ah, the person can do this. Ah, the person can do this. So there's this virtue within this person. But the first time you meet the person, you might be thinking that Shani, is this person? No. But lust is not like that. Lust depreciates, but love usually appreciates. Love, when you see it, you are at the peak of the flesh. You are like, ah, this thing is so perfect. And you just want to jump into it. But after you jump into it, you now start depreciating. You know that, motivate me. Just like the case of, is he Absalom or the first? Abnon. Ammon that went to go and rape Tamar. So the love was first there. That love is a perverted love that the devil brings. God brought love. The devil perverted it to lust. So that's the normal thing that we usually have. Because when you just go into the marriage, you might not really love the person at the first few years. But later in marriage, you start seeing a lot of good things about the lady. You start appreciating her. Like, God, thank you for this person. If I hadn't, and so on and so forth. And I also want to say that, as he said, the place of experiential knowledge, working personally, sorry. Because if you take the template of someone, I've seen some people that they've gone for, okay, have I seen some people? I've heard of people that have gone for a lot of seminars, marriage seminar. The number of seminars they've gone to is the number of problems they had when they got into marriage. So they go to a lot of seminars. In fact, they are seminar guru. They can give you the number of seminars they've gone. The speaker, Josh Meyer came. And you know a lot of things. But you now realize that number of seminars is the number of problems they will have. So I think the most important thing is to prepare your mind of a personal experience. It's good to go to seminar. I'm not saying that seminar is not bad. Though. Like this one we are having here. It's very good. It's a very good template. But women are unique. Men are unique. When you come together, you are not him. I'm not you. What is happening to me? What are we do? How are we react to something? Sometimes 100% different from how you react to it. So there's a lot of peculiarities associated with each and every one of us and our marriages. So if you want to take, although there are some basic templates that you can use, but you shouldn't make up your mind, because when you get there, you now start becoming practical. As Pastor said, it's not theory. When the thing becomes practical, those that have entered into it, I think they know it very well. When the thing becomes practical, is another world entirely, another ball game. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Then then I also have, although I already have my opinion about that, but I just want to throw it to us, that does God have, why they say someone is the rib of your rib, the bone of your bone? Is it, eh? So me, like the person is like, when you don't marry the person, you have finished your life, you can't marry again. How true is this theory? Because this is my own belief. I believe that God prepares people for people. If the person God is preparing for you falls off in the case, in the journey of preparation, God can always have, God has better. God has a lot of things in stock. Share, understand. So that's just my own belief. But in the case of that, this person is the rib of your rib. If you don't find it, just one person, and then after that, you are dead. Hey. But if that person, you now marry, and that person dies like 2 years after, she, God will say that that rib has died, you can't marry again. Hey. So that's my question now. That how true is that?
Praise the Lord. That theology is affliction theology. Affliction theology is just like the, like Bunker said, somebody told me that he had him say that before he came to Africa, God has sent like 3 other people that refused to come. Okay.
He was and the African man started crying. So it was even an African man. The person was crying. And he went to go and meet the person that, what's happening? The person said, what you are doing? I have been sent to do it. But the issue now is to ascertain whether it's Bunky or another person.
Okay. So, if you look at Judas was supposed to be there. When he fell off, there was a better. Don't forget, God goes from better. He said the path of the joy is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. The next one will be better. So, look at the Judas and Matthias, he fell off by transgression and Matthias came. Saul was originally called to prepare the throne that the Messiah will sit upon as the first king of Israel. So when he falls out, God brought David that was better. True of us. The first man, Adam, that God created, when he fought out, God brought his second Adam. The second Adam. So you must always know that God cannot be trapped. God cannot be short-sighted. You know, we're talking about human being. God can say, okay, this is the person you marry. I can say, I don't like the person. I can agree today, and tomorrow I say, I don't want again. Praise the Lord. The parable of the people that Jesus sent, he said, go and walk in a field. One said, I will go. He did not go. Another one said, I will not go. But later he went. So this, it changes. So we are human, and God knows we are human. You can even, God can call us. We can even start the call midway. We can say we are going back. But he has never been stranded. So then he can never be stranded. So when God says he gives us opportunity, praise the Lord, he gives us opportunity. So it's left whether we take it or we don't take it. And if we don't take it, God can always bring something up. So that's the mindset. So just know that even you stepping into marriage is an opportunity that God gives you. So, and all these things you are learning now, if you don't learn or work on your character, you are not working on your patience now. It will show up. Because that's what I believe. If you are not working on your character, then God wants someone that God has prepared grade A, he'll come and give it to you. When you are grade E, he'll give you somebody that will be at your level. Simple mathematics. Yes. Yes. Yes, you are not working on your character, then God will bring somebody that will flow. But if yourself, you are rebellious, you are just tussling with God, God will bring somebody that will crack you down a bit. The person will be a bit tough. Tough. A nice, lovely person, you guys will do a lot of things for God together. But the person will be a bit tough. That you'll be able to, those elements that God cannot break, God will use that to break it. Or use him to break it. So what you'll have learned quietly in the closet, you learn it in the battlefield. So those are, so it's all dependent on you. I believe when I wanted to get my dad, if I worked on my character, if I worked on my personality, God will give me somebody, you know, somebody that will be suiting. in a way or something. It's, I'm not preaching works now, but I'm preaching understanding spirituality and understanding the way the movement, the way the spiritual pathway moves. So I took years to work on my character and prepare myself for marriage. Patient, a lot of things people see around me, it was not inside of me before. A lot of things had to work massively and become, because I know that I'm the head. I'm going to reflect, I'm going to order, determine the atmosphere of the home. If I'm a man of peace, there will be peace in my home. If I'm peaceful, my soul is peaceful. I'm a man of extreme peace, because the atmosphere in my home is going to be peaceful. If I really truly love, then love will abound in my home. So my wife, my children, everybody will come under that atmosphere. You know, those are what I believe before I get married. And if there's a place they needed to adjust, under that atmosphere, they will be able to take correction on time. Let's pray. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. We've had a lot of discussion. Next time I wrote something so that you can remind me, growing the bond in marriage. The bond in marriage. I'll teach us, I'll speak on it some days. Then I've not forgotten this topic. Who moved the stone? Then the one that this one is troubling all of us about. Who planted the tree? At the appropriate time, we'll talk about it. let's pray. After our prayer session, let's pray. Can you begin to pray? A lot of things have been said and been heard. What have you heard? What have you heard? What have been ministered to you? This is not just for us that are not yet married. This word is for us who that are married. It's for me too that I'm speaking to us. Let's pray. Ensure everybody is praying. Justina, if you are feeling sleepy, stand up and pray. I want everybody to stand up and pray. I need you to pray. I need you to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Can you talk to the Lord? Those of you that are in relationship, those of you that are not yet in relationship, everybody, somehow, I told us the journey, I told us we are somewhere in the movement of life. You are somewhere. That's how we started. You are somewhere in life. You are somewhere in the mystery of God. You are somewhere in God. You are somewhere in God. There are places you've been, you have moved from certain places to certain places. And there are certain places you are still going. Just pray, talk to the Lord.